Thanks for tuning in once again to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is on the air because life and truth matter. As a tribute on the passing of renowned author, speaker, and theologian, Dr. R.C. Sproul, we bring to you a special archived interview with Dr. Sproul from a decade ago. If you think philosophy is irrelevant to your daily life, think again. You need only observe the world around you to discover how substantially the ideas of history's thinkers affect us all. You can hear it in the beliefs of your non-Christian friends, in the media, your music, your children's classrooms. You can see it in our public policies, on every bookstore shelf, in the way we understand our very existence, even in the church. Dr. Sproul is a master communicator who has the ability to make very deep, complex issues understandable and applicable to everyday life. The Consequences of Ideas CD collection is an analysis of the great ideas of human history to inspire and influence our world and current culture. Stay with us to find out more. And now, from the headquarters of the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Glad to be with all of you as we take your questions and answer them throughout the United States and Canada. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Resource consultants are standing by as we speak, 888-7000-CRI. And you can also access us on the World Wide Web at equip.org or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. R.C. Sproul has been a good friend of mine from the very beginning of my Christian faith and has influenced my life and development in more ways than I have time to talk about. The best thing I can say about R.C. Sproul is he's the absolute real deal. Over the years, I've met Christian leaders that are an inch thick and 3,000 miles wide. That's not the case with R.C. Sproul. He's the real deal, and getting the consequences of an overview of philosophy by R.C. Sproul will enrich your life in ways that you cannot now imagine. Trust me, call 888-7000-CRI or order The Consequences of Ideas through the World Wide Web at equip.org. R.C., it's great to have you with us.
Hey, Hank. Again, we're together.
We've had a lot of fun over the years.
We really have. And a lot of it was on the golf course. People probably don't know that. But today we had the opportunity to reminisce about our mutual friend Jim Kennedy, who went to glory yesterday morning. And you know, I knew Jim almost 40 years, and I think you did as well. And so we're sad in his passing, but we're very happy about the legacy that he has left behind.
Kathy called me yesterday, R.C., and I got these urgent messages while I was in a meeting saying, please call, please call. It's an emergency. And I had these pangs of fear coursed through my body, and I got a hold of Kathy, and she was sobbing over the phone. She said, did you hear Jim Kennedy just died? And of course, as you know, R.C., Jim married Kathy and I, and he taught me how to walk down the aisle.
He
was an Arthur Murray dance instructor.
He and Anne won the National Arthur Murray Dance Contest, and I took ballroom dancing for 5 years, and I know what that means. He was really a world-class dancer. He was extremely talented, and of course, he was very shy about that.
He was a titan of the Christian faith. He was a great apologist. He was a very, very accomplished theologian, a philosopher, and he knew how to communicate. And one of the things you love is the etymology of words, but he used words in a very profound and meaningful way. He was an orator.
Yes, and in this day and age where even within the so-called evangelical church, where the gospel's being negotiated every day, Jim Kennedy would rather die than negotiate the gospel.
One of the things you and I both know about Jim, and we worked with him in this regard, is that Jim didn't just talk about sharing the gospel, and he didn't just communicate the fact that all believers needed to be reproducing disciple makers, but he went himself as a famous pastor into the highways and byways and shared the gospel by example.
He sure did, and he encouraged millions of people to do the same thing. I mean, one of the things that really was a key to his life and to his ministry was his understanding of the multiplication of ministry. You know, that's how he was interested in training so many people to be evangelists. That's why he got into radio and television, so that the proclamation of the gospel that he was involved in could be expanded and multiplied through all of the different modern tools of communication.
Early on in my Christian walk, we not only played golf together, but I consumed your lectures for hours and hours. I'd listen to your lectures. And one of the reasons I'm so excited about the consequences of ideas is what I mentioned early, the etymology of words. You explain things slowly and clearly. You use words that are meaningful and necessary for us to understand, but you always take the time to unpack the words. Why do you have this fascination with words and unpacking the meaning for people?
Well, I think it's hard to explain that. I've always had a passion for truth. And often the difference between a falsehood and truth was not an unbridgeable chasm, but a razor's edge. It could be just simply a matter of a nuance of a term. And I think that if we're going to try to dig deeply into the Word of God and to discern its truth, we want to understand with as much precision as we possibly can. In fact, this is what science is all about. You remember the first task that God gave to Adam and Eve was to name the animals. Mm. This was the beginning of the scientific enterprise. I used to tell my students, I said, really what was going on here was taxonomy. and taxonomy was the classification of animals. And the way people in science do classification is that they look at similarities and then they look at differences. And that's what knowledge is about. That's what science is about. For example, if I go to the doctor and I have a stomach ache, he knows that there can be many different things that cause that stomach ache. And there's a similarity between indigestion and stomach cancer. But he wants to look at the differences that can be fatal, a matter of life and death, by being precise in his diagnosis. And the more we seek to learn, the more we gain this precision of distinction so that we can tell the difference between a bellyache and stomach cancer, and likewise between truth and heresy in the church. And so I've seen that the whole study of language is critical, because concepts are built up of words. And the better we understand the words, the easier it is for us to articulate precisely what we mean when we make our confession of faith.
That leads me into what I wanted to ask you about next. I've been promoting the consequences of ideas, an overview of philosophy. These are CDs, and CDs that people can listen to over and over again. But tell the audience, R.C., why it's so important from your perspective for us to have a grasp of the leading voices in the history of Western thought. Why is that so important?
Oh, I'm glad you asked that. You know, your friend Norman Geisler, who spent his life in the field of philosophy and apologetics, has to hear the criticism that Christians give them all the time. Why should I be concerned about philosophy? The Bible says, beware of vain philosophy. And Norm answers that objection again and again by simply saying, how can you beware of something unless you're first aware of it? And so Christians need to be aware of life views, philosophical concepts that have gripped people's lives and have turned culture upside down. I like this to tell this story, Hank. When I was in high school, a long time ago, in fact, that we just went to our 50th high school reunion, the population of the world was 2 billion people. And I guess around 1980 or 1985, somewhere around that time, I was astonished to read then that with the population explosion and with the impact of Marxism, that there were 2 billion people living behind the Iron Curtain under the tyranny of a philosophy that had been expounded by Karl Marx. And I thought, wow, this is the same number of people that there were in the whole world when I was a high school student. Hmm. And so, I mean, obviously, people understand that Adolf Hitler studied Nietzsche. He wrote Mein Kampf. He had an idea. And the consequences of that idea cost the lives of millions. And that's what we see in the world is a war of ideas. And these ideas come into collision one with another. And before you know it, the blood is running in the street.
The Consequences of Ideas, an Overview of Philosophy by R.C. Sproul. It is a must for every Christian listening into this broadcast today. Resource consultants are standing by. The number to dial, 888-7000-CRI. You can also order via the World Wide Web at equip.org. Oh, and you're right, me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Talk for a moment about something that you recount in The Consequences of Ideas about your own personal baptism into the public education crisis. You saw that public education is in crisis. You had your own baptism when you questioned a professor or a teacher who was teaching your daughter.
That was amazing that when our daughter first went to school, it was in a progressive public school in Boston. In fact, the principal lived next door to me. And I was quite aware that when our daughter entered into the public school, that we were turning over her education to other people who did not share our worldview. And I was monitoring what she was doing every day in first grade, and after about 6 weeks into it, the school had an open house where the principal was going to explain their strategy of education, their philosophy of education. And so I went and I listened, and the man was brilliant, and he said, now, when your children come home from school and you ask them what they did, and they say, well, they played with puzzles. He said, don't be alarmed. We're not just babysitting your kids. He said, and he picked up this puzzle, and he said, now, from 9 o'clock till 9:12 every morning, the kids play with these puzzles, but they're not just there for entertainment. These puzzles were devised by a team of neurosurgeons from MIT to develop the motor muscles of the last three fingers of the left hand. You know, we're going, wow. And he said, I want you to know that every single thing that we do throughout their day has been carefully thought through and that there's a purpose for everything. And he went through the whole day with the same thing he did with the puzzles. And when he was done, he smiled and he said, are there any questions? And people laughed spontaneously, like, who in the world would raise any questions after this tour de force that we've just heard? And I raised my hand. He called on me and I said, I am really impressed by the amount of thought that's gone into this program, and you've explained all these multi-purposes during the day. And I said, but my question is, what is the overarching purpose that you have selected that you are trying to achieve by these particular purposes? I said, in other words, what kind of a child are you trying to produce and why? And when I asked that question, his first response was to turn white, and then his face looked like a thermometer. It just became red from the neck up, and he looked at me like a deer caught in the headlights, and he said, I don't know. And I said, well, I really appreciate your candor in admitting that you don't know what purpose that you're trying to achieve. I said, but frankly, your answer terrifies me. But this is where we are with some of the philosophical theories of our day, that there are purposes, but no purpose. There are truths, but no truth. And you really, the term truth is meaningless if you don't have some kind of standard or norm by which it's defined. And likewise, you can have a million purposes, but if there's no overarching purpose, then those are just arbitrary categories.
We're talking to one of the great theologians, philosophers, apologists of our day, Dr. R.C. Sproul. His cassette series or CD series titled The Consequences of Ideas, an Overview of Philosophy, is a must. It's not just an optional item. It's something that you need. And once you get these, you'll listen to them over and over. And you'll find out that when you're on the cutting edge of evangelism, you're driven into education. And this is the kind of education you need. The number to dial again, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000-CRI. Or you can log on to the World Wide Web and order online. And do remember your opportunity to speak directly to R.C. Sproul when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back.
As we take this brief time out in the program, call and order the Consequences of Ideas CD collection from Master Communicator R.C. Sproul. Dr. Sproul traces the contours of Western philosophy throughout history and demonstrates the massive consequences these ideas have had on our world events, theology, the arts, and culture, as well as in our everyday lives. To order, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. That's www.equip.org. Or write CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Don't stray from this station. The Bible Answer Man will be right back after this. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. back with more of the Bible Answer Man. We invite your questions about ideas and trends affecting the culture, Christians, or the church for R.C. Sproul. Call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We've been talking about the consequences of ideas, an overview of philosophy by R.C. Sproul. The CDs are available to you right now. It's a package that you absolutely cannot afford to be without, and you'll probably not realize how much you need it until you start listening to it. 888-7000 CRI is the number to dial, or you can access those CDs on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We've been talking off the air with R.C. Sproul about a wide assortment of things, but one of the things you mentioned is Max McLean, and of course we've been promoting Max McLean on the Bible Answer Man broadcast for a decade or more. His voice is like liquid bronze, but you're smiling.
Well, we do too at Ligonier, and we had dinner just a couple of weeks ago, and it was Max just with Vesta and me, and he looked over at my wife, and he was kind of awestruck, and he meant to say, boy, R.C., when you married her, you really robbed the cradle. Instead, he said, R.C., when you married her, you really robbed the grave. I said, Max, there are consequences to ideas. I'm not going to ever let you forget that. So I got this opportunity today now to tell the whole world about that faux pas.
Well, you mentioned Vesta, but every time it seems that I've ever been with you over the years, Vesta is there. You have a love affair going on with your wife.
I sure do. She's my American Express card. I never leave home without her. Well, you know, I met her when I was in first grade, and we've celebrated 47 years of marriage, and we went together for 8 years before that. So we're just now starting to get to know each other.
And she's kind of smiling at you right now through the glass. Vesta's here, and she's with R.C. as ever. And the two of you have really been a team in ministry. Talk about the importance of having a team in ministry when your wife is not just tangentially involved or tolerating what you do, but she really understands what you do, stands by you, and has really facilitated so much of what you do in many different ways.
Oh, wow. She's a tremendous encouragement to me because, you know, Hank, when you're in the battlefield for truth, there's some fearful things that take place. And I've always said the only necessary ingredient for courage is fear, because you don't need any courage to do what you're not afraid to do. But if there is fear there and you're going to work your way through it, you got to have courage, and it helps to have people encourage you. And that's what she has been for me over the years. You know, when we started our ministry so many years ago, we had a study center in Western Pennsylvania, as you know. And I'd gotten a lot of counsel from Francis Schaeffer when we began that enterprise, and the ministry was such that we had people in our homes, slept in our homes, ate at our table, and we would have our theological discussions there, so that the spouses of the staff members were very, very important, and Vesta's been engaged in ministry with me from the very beginning.
Talking to R.C. Sproul, a dear friend and one of the great theologians, philosophers, and apologists of our day. You have taken theology and made it an art form. Same thing is true with apologetics and philosophy. You've had the presence of mind and the ability to take very difficult concepts and make them accessible to the laity. Why?
You mean why? How do I do that, or why?
Why is it so important for you that the laity is able to grasp philosophy, theology, and apologetics?
Well, when I was a seminary student and I saw what was going on in the theological world, and the foundational concepts of the Christian faith were under attack every day, not just outside of the church, but inside the church, and was contemplating an academic life, my models, my two most important models, although there were more, if I would say my four most important models, were St. Augustine, John Calvin, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards. Hmm. And what I saw in all of those great thinkers of church history was that they weren't just academic people. They were all first-rate scholars, but they somehow managed to take their case to the people. And in order to do that, they had to simplify these deep concepts without distortion. Let me just comment on that for a second. I have known people in the academic world who give lectures in the classroom, and it's almost as if they're simply reciting the notes that they had taken in graduate school, and they've never assimilated the ideas themselves. And so they speak over everybody's head. And that seems like they're very profound and deep and intellectual because they're speaking above everybody's head. And I said, you know, what's happening here is that that fellow probably doesn't even understand the concepts he's communicating, because you haven't really understood the material until you're able to communicate it to people at a simpler level without distortion. If you distort it, then it's simplistic. It's not simplifying. And again, I've always seen myself as a battlefield theologian wanting to equip the church, equip the laity with a profound understanding of the truth of God. That's why I want to teach them. I want to get the message through to them. You know, you've been saying here about you want these people to get these CDs on the consequences of ideas. And the question that went through my mind when you were doing that is, I thought, why should they? Because people really don't think they need it. What I'd like to see is that every set of parents who are homeschooling their children to get this, every church that has kids going away to college to get this. Why? Because Christians, when they go to college, they get bombarded with skepticism, cynicism, all forms of secularism, and they're not equipped to filter that stuff out because they don't understand these concepts that they need to understand. You know, one of the hardest things in the world, Hank, is to get people to understand what they need to know when they don't think they need to know it. You know, I'm always told, you know, I've been told by consultants over the years, and I'm sure you've heard of it a thousand times, well, I say, you're trying to distribute all this stuff on theology. Why don't you give us news we can use? Why don't you give us simple, practical stuff? We don't need to know about the holiness of God. We need to know about how to raise our teenagers. I said, well, yeah, you feel the need of those problems that you face as a parent when you're trying to raise your children. You don't feel the need to know the character of God. And that's tough because there's nothing they need more than to find out who God is. And so that's part of the problem that we face, and you're dealing with it every day. So.
Yeah, well, that leads me to the question that's most pressing to me, R.C., and that is the modern resistance to objective truth and the courtship, particularly on the university campus, of relativism.
Well, there's good news and bad news about that, Hank. You remember Alan Bloom's book several years ago that shocked the literary world by making it to number one in the New York Times bestseller list. And at the beginning, I believe in the first page, he said something like 95% of kids when they graduate from high school have already embraced relativism. And when they go to college, that has been set in concrete. And the title of the book was The Closing of the American Mind. And what the American mind was being closed to was the idea of objective truth. And so Bloom, not carrying any brief for Christianity, but said, we're in a place now where education has degenerated into sophism, where people are just relativizing everything, especially the idea of truth. I said, the bad news is it was pandemic that this is everywhere. And I said, that's the bad news. The good news is nobody is a relativist consistently. You can't be a relativist and survive on this planet for 24 hours. You know, you say that you affirm relativism until you drive your car to an intersection. You see a Mack truck coming down the road. You know that there can't be a Mack truck there, not be a Mack truck there at the same time, the same relationship. All of a sudden, your commitment to objective truth kicks in and you put your foot on the brake. That's why I say people can't live
lives of denying objective truth. But what drives this, Hank, I'm convinced, is morality. People don't want objective rules for behavior. And if we can get rid of objective norms of human behavior, particularly with the sex ethics and so on, then I'm free to behave how I want with impunity. But I can't do that unless I clear the whole forest of all of the trees and get rid of truth altogether. And so I think that's what's driving it, is the moral crisis that we're in.
How do we end the war between science and theology?
Well, by doing good science and doing good theology. You know, I'm really convinced that the ideas that St. Augustine had centuries ago, that Christians ought to learn as much as they possibly can about as many things as they possibly can, because all truth meets at the top. Thomas Aquinas, who's been accused of divorcing science and faith, did anything but that. He was speaking out against those who would do that. And he went to Romans 1 and pointed out that God has revealed himself not only in his word, which we call special revelation, but he also reveals himself in nature, and that the arena of inquiry for the scientific enterprise tends to be nature, trying to understand it, whereas the basic arena of the theologian is to understand the scriptures. But if God is the one who's revealing himself both in nature and in scripture, God doesn't speak with a forked tongue. These concepts have to be compatible with each other. Now, there have been times in the past where the church was proven wrong by the scientific community. You know, the Copernicus problem. And that was because the church had adopted an interpretation of the scriptures that was an inaccurate interpretation of scripture, and they were corrected by the scientists. And there are other times where the scientist has to be corrected by the scripture, because again, all truth is God's truth, and I believe it's all coherent. And so if we see a conflict between our understanding of theology and our understanding of nature, a bell should go off in our head and say, well, I'm either misunderstanding what I think the Bible teaches, or I'm misunderstanding the scientific data. And I work that way, because I can learn from both. And the war is only going to be over when there's some humility comes in to both sides.
On the other side of the break, I want to ask you what you perceive to be the biggest need or problem in the evangelical Christian church. And then we're going to open the phone lines, give people an opportunity to speak directly with you, to speak to R.C. Sproul. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, simply translates to 888-275-4265, and take this opportunity right now before you think another thought, get the consequences of ideas. Again, available, our resource consultants are standing by as we speak, 888-7000-CRI. You can also order online on the World Wide Web at equip.org, or when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And do remember, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. If you can join the Bible Answer Man support team, the easiest way to do that, the most efficient and effective way to do that, is join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team by logging into the World Wide Web at equip.org. We'll be right back. Don't touch that dial.
We'll be back with Hank and R.C. Sproul in just a moment. The Consequences of Ideas, an Overview of Philosophy with R.C. Sproul, is a collection of history's most influential ideas and is a must-have for anyone who wants to understand what has influenced past history, modern culture, and today's church. To order the Consequences of Ideas CD collection with R.C. Sproul, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org. Or you can write to CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Stay tuned. We'll return with more of the Bible Answer Man in just a moment. But the angel said to them,
Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. While many of you will soon enter the hustle and bustle of the holiday season, Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart. Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org. Also available is The Heart of Christmas audiobook, dramatically read by Hank Hanegraaff. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. equip.org. Join a team working together for the extension of God's kingdom. Join the Bible Answer Man monthly radio support team. As a support team member, you pledge to make a monthly gift toward the work and ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Sign up today to become a support team member, and Hank will send you an autographed copy of the Bible Answer Book, Volume 1 or 2. Call CRI right now, 888-7000-CRI, or join online at equip.org. The greater our familiarity with the ideas that have shaped our culture over the centuries, the greater our ability to understand and influence that culture for Christ. R.C. Sproul traces the contours of Western philosophy throughout history and demonstrates the massive consequences these ideas have had on world events, theology, the arts, our culture, as well as our everyday lives. To order the Consequences of Ideas CD collection with R.C. Sproul, call 888-7000-CRI or order on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. And now, returning with his guest, R.C. Sproul, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Talking to one of my favorite people in the world, Dr. R.C. Sproul. His CD series, The Consequences of Ideas, a must for every one of you. And I oftentimes say, get the book as well, and we do have the book available, but the CDs are the real deal. You get to see R.C. as he teaches you this information, and it gets in through the ear gate, it gets into your mind, it gets rooted in your memory, and it allows you then to take these ideas into the battlefield of life. You talked about battlefield philosophy or battlefield theologian or battlefield apologetics. What do you mean by that?
I mean that the Christian faith can never be contained in the ivory tower. It has to be what Luther called profane. And if you like me to unpack words, that word profane means out of the temple. It has to get out of the temple and into the world, and has to meet head on with the conflicting ideas of any given culture. This was the model of the Apostle Paul, who was in the agora, the marketplace, every day, dealing with the conflict of ideas.
What is the issue that we're facing today in the evangelical Christian world?
Well, Hank, you know, there are many, many issues, and we could spend a lot of time about them. I haven't changed my view. I think the single biggest problem in the church today, in the evangelical church especially, is understanding who God is, the character of God. That conditions everything. You know, we've seen the evangelical church go crazy for seeker-sensitive styles of worship, trying to do the church's, the Lord's work in the world's way, I think. We need to listen to the Bible. The Bible tells the only people that seek God are people who have already been found by God. In our natural state of fallenness, the Bible says there's none that seeks after God. By our fallen nature, we don't seek God. We seek the benefits that only God can give us, and we think that we're seeking God. We're looking for peace of mind. We're looking for purpose in our lives. We're looking for relief from guilt. But that doesn't mean we're searching for God. On the contrary, we're trying to have all those things while we're fugitives from God. We're fleeing from Him as fast as we can. And so to structure church for the unbeliever, that just doesn't make any sense to me. The whole purpose of church is the assembling together of the saints, of the people of God, that they may be nurtured in the Word of God, strengthened and equipped to go out to those who are lost. So I think we have the cart before the horse there. But I think it all goes back to whether our focus is going to be man-centered or God-centered. And once we lose sight of the character of God, the only thing left is to gaze at ourselves.
Fair to say that virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God?
Yes, exactly right. You know, when I used to teach in the seminary, you know, for many, many years, and I taught the theology proper, which is the doctrine of God. And I said, really, in our communion, the Reformed faith, there's nothing particularly unique about the doctrine of God. Every other communion confesses the same thing. He's eternal, invisible, omnipotent, omniscient, and all of that. I said, but the distinctive of our theology is our doctrine of God. Now, that sounds like a contradiction. And I said, what I mean by that is that our doctrine of God, we remember it when we go to the next doctrine and the doctrine after that, because our understanding of God is the control principle for understanding everything else in the Christian faith.
A lot of people want to talk to you. Go right to the phone lines. Talk to Ben, listening on WNIV. In Noonan, Georgia, you're on with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Hi, Ben.
Hey, Hank, Dr. Sproul. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Ben, thanks for waiting so patiently.
Oh, that's all right. I listen to you on WNIV as well, so this is an honor to talk to both of you guys. I've just been trying to study up on election some and was kind of wondering if you guys could kind of flesh out the Calvinist the view of salvation or the Arminian view of salvation, what similarities they might have and their major differences.
Okay, I'll try to be quick about that. Ben, first of all, let me ask you a question. How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot.
So you're not quite Big Ben yet?
No, not quite. More like Uncle Ben.
Okay. Anyway, you know, from Ancient of Days, there's been the classic disputes between what we call semi-Pelagian theology and Augustinian theology, current terms, it's Calvinism and Arminianism. First, I want to say that those differences are intramural differences between Christians. It's not a debate between a believer and the unbeliever like it would be between Augustinianism and pure Pelagianism. But there are many differences, but I think the chief difference between them is their difference of understanding of the degree of the corruption of humanity after the fall. and what's left of the image of God in fallen humanity. Calvinism believes that fallen human beings are morally incapable of responding positively to the gospel until or unless they are first born of the Spirit. And so if you want to boil it down, there's a simple progression. The question is this: which comes first, faith or regeneration? Do we have to believe in order to be reborn, or must we first be reborn in order to believe? Arminianism ultimately would have say that the faith comes before regeneration, and Calvinism would say that regeneration precedes faith.
Want to go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to David listening on KSIV, St. Louis, Missouri. You're on with Dr. R.C. Sproul. Hi, David.
Hello. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, David. Thanks for calling.
My question is on morality. I'm not a Christian, although I really desperately tried to be a Christian several years ago. But ultimately, what kind of pushed me away, I found the morality of the Bible repugnant. If, as Dostoevsky said, if there is no God, everything is permitted, it occurs to me that if there is a God of the Old Testament type, then anything can be permitted. And that seems to be the ultra-subjectivism towards morality that I don't feel comfortable with.
All right, let me say a couple of things to that, David, if I may. First of all, I think there's a lot of confusion in our culture today about the meaning of the terms morality or ethics. Morality traditionally came from the concept of mores, which is a descriptive science which catalogs what people actually do, whereas ethics is an examination of oughtness, that is what we ought to do. And we, I think you would agree, we don't always do what we ought to do. But when you get into the science of ethics, you're then looking at norms. And from the Christian perspective, the ultimate norm for behavior is the law of God, which, well, actually, that would be the penultimate norm, because the ultimate norm is God's character himself. And you see that in your judgment, the Old Testament God is repugnant because he violates some principle of morality that you hold. And I can understand that, because you talk about God calls for extermination of nations. Let me give you a quick modern application of that. When 9/11 happened, you maybe remember that Jerry Falwell and Pat Robertson got themselves in all kinds of hot water with the press, because they suggested that 9/11 was an act of God's judgment on America. Do you remember that?
No, not specifically.
But anyway, they did, and they did a lot of backpedaling around that. And then out of that, everybody kept saying, God bless America. And I thought, what is it about this that we're open to the idea of God's blessing a nation, and yet we find the idea of God's judging a nation repugnant? If you look at the extermination of nations, for example, in the Old Testament, in every case, it was because God, who is holy, was exercising judgment over wicked people. I don't have a problem with that, David. I wouldn't have a problem if God would say to me tonight, you deserve to go to hell. I would know he would be telling me the truth, because I do deserve it. I have violated his holiness. I have violated his law every day of my life, just as you have. And so I know I don't deserve anything except his wrath. But the God of the Old Testament is also a God of incredible grace, who time after time after time withheld that judgment from people who so justly deserved it. The message of Scripture, the message of God, is that God, in spite of his justice and in spite of his holiness, is unbelievably merciful and gracious to those who will honestly stand before him and confess their sin.
It strikes me, though, that in all of that response, it seems like we've kind of settled around the issue of human dignity. That is to say, if God really values human life, why would he command the slaughter of babies? Why would he say that slaves can be beaten? And then if they can get up and walk around in 3 days, then that's okay. It's okay to have slaves. It's okay to beat them. But they got to be able to walk in 3 days. We can sell our children to pay off our debt. It just seems like the whole tone of the Old Testament strips humanity of dignity and then says no matter what we do to them then, it's okay because they don't have any inherent value.
Okay, I'm glad that you suggest that. Let me say to you and something that may absolutely shock you. I don't believe that man does have any inherent dignity. Let me say it again. I'd like to know where you find dignity for human beings. Everything around you is telling us that we are emerged fortuitously from the slime. We're cosmic accidents. We've come from the abyss of nothingness, and we're destined to that same pit of meaninglessness, and yet we want to say that we have dignity in the meantime. I don't think so. Let me say this. I think man does have dignity, but it's not inherent. It is extrinsic. It has been given to us by God. You matter because God says so. And I have to say to you, David, candidly, your view of human dignity is based on nothing.
With that, we're going to leave you hanging. The good news is that R.C. is going to be with us for an extra hour once we go off the air, which is to say that he's going to stay right here for an extra hour. We're going to continue taking your questions, and we'll play his answers to your questions on tomorrow's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. And if you want to talk to R.C., an incredible privilege. 888-ASK-HANK is the number to dial, and please get a copy of The Consequences of Ideas. You can secure them on the World Wide Web at equip.org or when you dial 888-7000-CRI.
It's been our pleasure to have Dr. R.C. Sproul as our guest today. Don't miss more of the conversation as R.C. returns tomorrow on The Bible Answer Man. Once again, we'd like to make available The Consequences of Ideas 12-CD collection by R.C. Sproul. This high-quality resource will add a new dimension to your appreciation of the rich heritage Christians have had throughout history and influences gained from other schools of thought. Call CRI to order today at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write to CRI, P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. Our website is open 24 hours a day for your online order at www.equip.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org.
To fully grasp the significance of Christ's messianic role, you must drink deeply from the wellspring of Old Testament prophecy. In Hebrews, as in the rest of the New Testament, the Old Testament history of Israel is interpreted as a succession of types that find ultimate fulfillment in the birth, death, resurrection, and ascension of the Christ we celebrate at Christmas.
Hank Hanegraaff has penned The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season to ensure that just as you prepare your home for Christmas, you likewise prepare your heart.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, by calling 888-7000-274 or by going online to www.equip.org.